إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the words of Luqman alayhi salam, his advice to his son, where he said, لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. The first advice that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son is, do not make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not join anyone in worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this term where he said, inna ash-shirk, ash-shirka la zulmun azim. Verily, shirk is surely the worst of sins. Zulmun azim. The worst of zulm, the worst of oppression. So not only did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention shirk, but he mentioned shirk in a specific way, where in the same ayah, in one sentence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterated and reinforced the evil of shirk twice. Inna, and then the lam of taqid. Inna shirka la zulmun azim. And that also, zulmun azim, the worst of oppressions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned this issue of shirk in several other places of the Quran, and made this very specific mention two or three things. One, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the only sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive is that of shirk. When we say only sin Allah will not forgive, what is meant by that is that if somebody dies on shirk, while you are alive, Allah will forgive every sin. There is no sin that Allah will not forgive. As long as a person makes tawbah, Allah will forgive every sin. And that's how somebody who has been a mushrik all his life becomes Muslim, because he makes tawbah and comes into Islam. So when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he will not forgive, it means after a person dies. So if a person dies on shirk, then what happens to the person? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that very specifically, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept anything other than Islam on the day of judgment. And that anyone who comes with anything, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly, anyone who comes on the day of judgment with anything other than Islam, any deen other than Islam, this will not be accepted from him, and that person will be among the losers, meaning that person will be in the hellfire. The reason I'm saying this is because sometimes shaitan confuses us, and we find people who are not Muslim, who are mushrikeen, but you find that these are good people. So they are people with very good akhlaq, they are people who are compassionate, they are people who are doing great works of charity, great works of social welfare, helping other people and so on. And the thought that comes into the mind is, how can such a person, if the person dies on some religion other than Islam, which they are following, how can this person enter the hellfire? Because this is a very good person. The key thing to understand here is, and then people sometimes say, but isn't Allah for everybody? The key thing to understand is, yes, Allah is for everybody. There is no one who can deny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not for some people, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. So Allah is for all of His creation. But what is meant by that? And why is shirk such a big problem? And for example, why did Allah not say the same thing about kufr? The reason is that kufr is also a form of shirk. When a person is denying Allah, so what is he affirming? He's either affirming, an atheist is affirming himself. So when he's saying there is no Allah, he's saying my opinion is that there is no Allah. So he's affirming himself, which means that he's making himself shariq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way. So denial of Allah also is a form of shirk. So number one. Number two, shirk is the single, before that, number two, the basic reason why shirk is such a big evil is because the purpose of our creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The very purpose of the creation of the human beings is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala along with somebody else. It is not the worship of just somebody else by themselves. It is not the denial of Allah. Allah did not create. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah has created the human being only and only for the purpose of his worship. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Again, if you go into the grammar of this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with the denial. I have not created. Saying something, I have created human beings for my worship, is one way of saying it. Another way of saying it is, I have not created human beings for anything other than my worship. Now, which is a more emphatic statement? I mean, the second one is obviously much more emphatic than saying, I have created human beings for my worship. That would have been sufficient. Allah did not deem it sufficient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it in a way which is far more emphatic than the first way. So when a person is committing shirk, that person is going against the very purpose of his existence. So in any situation, you have to see things in terms of priority. For example, if you are the citizen of a country, the first and most important and the first and most critical aspect of your citizenship of the country that you belong to is that you are loyal to that country. Right? Now, apart from being loyal to the country, you should also follow the laws of the land, which can range from stopping at a red light to not evading taxes, to doing whatever is the other law of the land. So these are all laws. But obviously, if you go through a red light, you will not be accused of treason. Even if you evade taxes, I mean, evading taxes is haram. Islam does not permit you to evade taxes of the land that you live in. The law of the land is the law. As far as Islam is concerned, the law of the land is the law, provided there is nothing in the law which contradicts Islam. For example, if the law of the land says you will not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously we don't accept that. But other than anything in the law of the land which goes against the laws of Islam, if there is the law of the land which refers to general well-being of people, paying of taxes, for example, in most countries, including India, protection of the environment is very much law of the land. So you are not allowed to, pollute air and water and so on. You are not allowed to hunt wild animals. All of these are laws of the land, which are for the benefit of everyone in the land, including animals and birds and trees and water and air. And therefore, for a Muslim, it is fard. It is a duty of the Muslim to obey the law of the land. But all of these laws of the land are not as important, and they are subservient to the number one law of the land, which is the condition of citizenship, that you are loyal to the country, that you will not commit treason. Right? So even if you go through a red light, that's just bad driving, but it's not, nobody will say the person is a traitor because he went through a red light. But if somebody says, for example, if you take the position, if somebody says, I don't recognize this country, I am not faithful to this country, I don't care, it's not my country. But the person is very charitable and he drives very nicely and he does not shoot wild animals and you have denied the very basic institution which makes you a member of the country. This makes you a citizen of the country. You denied that basic thing. Then whatever else you do, it may be good in a superficial way, but other than that, it does not entitle you to anything from that country. That's the closest example that I can think of to give to the issue of shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for his worship alone. So a person who does not worship Allah, a person who joins partners with Allah, a person who does whatever else other than saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, a person who does not accept Allah, this person is going against the very purpose of his creation. Now, what therefore will happen as far as the good things are concerned? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the good in the world itself. And we can see, for example, take Mother Teresa, which is the classic example that everybody gives. Nobody seems to give anything other than Mother Teresa, because then we have to see, there's only one woman who did good in the whole world or what? But anyway, they say Mother Teresa. So Mother Teresa was, she was given the Nobel Peace Prize. Now she has been deified into a saint, and all kinds of things. I mean, you know, so all the glory and reward in this world, Mother Teresa received. Similarly, it would be for other people. So in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. And see also this rahmah of Allah. This is something that we must reinforce and explain to people. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna shirka la zulmun azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not punish shirk in this life. There is no punishment for shirk. Not only is there no punishment in the Sharia, there is no punishment for shirk. Absolutely zero punishment for shirk. There is not only is there no punishment for shirk, in a Muslim state, the state is obliged to permit shirk. How? Because the state is obliged to protect the places of worship of the non-Muslims. So what is the Sharia telling you? The Sharia is saying that the Muslim Khalifa, the Muslim ruler, must protect shirk. He must allow people to commit shirk. If somebody is worshipping Jesus or somebody is worshipping idols, the Muslim Khalifa is not permitted to destroy that temple, is not permitted to blow up the church. He is supposed to and he is ordered to protect them and protect their priests and allow them to continue their worship and give them facilities to do that. All of, if you want to talk about tolerance and if you want to talk about, you know, peaceful coexistence, find me an example better than this. Where the state is being told, the ruler is being told as a Muslim ruler of an Islamic state that you will not damage the places of worship of people who are committing shirk and who are disobeying Allah and who are going against Allah. What is a bigger proof of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left the punishment of shirk to himself. He did not tell the ruler to do it. He did not tell you or me, go and beat up somebody. No. Invite them to Islam. Show them the beauty of Islam. Try to convince them in the best possible way. And that also has been said. Mauizatil hasana. Wajadilum billati hiya ahsan. Even if you argue with them, do it in the best possible way. Convince them, show them the way and so on. But beyond that, nothing. If they still want to worship in their own way, no problem. Do whatever you want. But when all of this is over, invitation has been given, the invitation has been denied, you have not been troubled in any way for that reason in this world, whatever good that you did, that has been rewarded in this world itself and so on and so forth, you continue to insist on denying the very purpose of your existence, and then you die in that state of denial, then logically speaking, what can you expect from Allah who you denied? How can you expect anything from Allah who you denied? So if you denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you go to Allah and say, well, please give me reward. Give who reward? You? Who are you? That is the issue. And that is why shirk is such a bad thing, because it negates everything else. In this dunya, you will get whatever you want. And as I explained to you, Islam is very tolerant. But once you go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then is the issue. I remind myself and you that this is something that we should always be very careful about. Of course, alhamdulillah, the people like us, we will not go and, you know, bow before an idol. But there are many forms of shirk. I'm not going into all the details now, but let us be very careful. We ask Allah to save us from all forms of shirk and to ensure that we live on tawheed and that we die with tawheed, that we die with the kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, on our tongues. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all our sins and to accept us in His mercy. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika.